May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 806. Christ is the friend of sinners, be that forgotten never. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. To see sin smarts but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still. But oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. Hymn 806.
reading together from the Word of God, Psalm 119. We'll begin to read from verse 97, and we will read down to verse 128. Psalm 119, beginning to read from verse 97 down to verse 128. O, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage for ever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us and help us to seek him at the throne of grace. O Lord, if thou wilt be pleased to come and intercede for us as we draw near to thee, calling upon thy great and thy holy name. O Lord, be pleased to give utterance. Let the words of our prayers come from thy presence. And we do pray that thou wilt be pleased to be unto us, according to thy promise, prayer hearing and prayer answering. For we, Lord, are the poor and the needy of thy people. And, O Lord, we find and discover time and again that, Lord, being poor and needy, thou art that one, Lord, needful to us in every part and aspect of our lives here below. That, O Lord, we have none to turn to but unto thee for all needed help and grace to be able to continue. And as we come together in thy name, yes, Lord, poor and needy, we need and pray, Lord, for the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit to come upon us. Not only, Lord, to enlighten us and to bring us near to thee, but be pleased, Lord, to open up the word and truth of thy gospel to us, that we might, Lord, through thy Spirit hear and receive thy word mixed with faith. And we pray, Lord, as we are poor and needy, that thou wilt be pleased to come to every state and condition and need that is before thee at this time. And, Lord, thou knowest each one of us. Thou hast heard our prayers and our petitions in the pews of thy house. Thou hast looked upon our hearts, Lord. O Lord, we do pray that they may be those hearts indeed that have been settled and fixed, that we might be helped and enabled to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and that we might know what it is to have a love and a desire for thy house of prayer. The ordinances of thy house, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, what a mercy it is, Lord, to be found within the doors of thy house. O Lord, we do pray that we may be blessed with the promise of thy presence and all needed help, that we may partake of thee in thy gospel grace, and that thou wouldest afford some living portion for our poor souls, that our souls might live and have life in a precious Christ and his gospel, and that through him and him alone, wherein indeed is unsearchable riches, is all the needs that we shall ever require for our poor souls here below. And we do pray, Lord, out of thy fullness, that thou wilt be pleased to appear unto each one of us. The fullness of grace that is in thee, the fullness of thy word and thy truth, the fullness of thy Spirit. Oh, do come, Lord, to each one of us, that our time spent together may be a good time, a profitable time, further revelations of thy glorious person, of the abounding love that thou didst show to sinners at Calvary. O Lord, our poor souls cannot come into the greatness of that love, because, Lord, it is so abounding that it covered all our sins and iniquities. And, O Lord, it was found in the blessedness of thy person suffering in our room and stead at Calvary. And the height and depth and length and breadth of it, Lord. Oh, if we could but come, Lord, into a little of it in our poor souls this evening. Oh, it would be, Lord, that would lift us up, and that would bring us near to thee, and that would, Lord, ever give to us that contrite heart to serve thee, to worship thee, to please thee, to give glory to thy name forever, to lift thee up, Lord, as that one who hath done great things for thy people. And, O Lord, we do pray that we may each be enabled to speak of those great things that thou hast done for us. The legion went forth, thou didst send him forth, Lord. His desire was to be with thee. He was found at thy feet and in his right mind, clothed and in his right mind. And Lord, what a glorious change was wrought within him. Oh, one indeed so immersed in evil and wickedness, so many devils that were in him. And yet, Lord, upon the cross at Calvary, thou wast one that was manifested to destroy his works within us. And thou didst destroy them at Calvary. And, O Lord, we thank thee that we also can go forth as the legion went forth to his own city, and that he proclaimed and spake of the great things that the Lord had done for his soul. O Lord, we do pray that each one of us here may be able to speak something that thou hast done for our souls. We pray thee, Lord. O, do, Lord, come then and dwell in the midst of us. Reveal and manifest thyself to each and every one of us as that one thing needful to our poor souls. And needful, Lord, because how constantly thou knowest how that we come to thee, confessing and repenting our sins and iniquities. And the solemn truth, Lord, of our poor wayward hearts. And yes, Lord, the evil that we find within betimes. And Lord, the solemn truth of the worldliness and the worldly cares and concerns. O Lord, our need is of thee. Or that we might know again and again thy pardoning love and mercy to us, to save us from ourselves, Lord, to keep us from ourselves, Lord, from our own hearts, O Lord, still deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, O Lord. And we still have that heart, Lord. O, be pleased, Lord, to come and subdue all sin, and let not sin have dominion over us, O Lord, we pray. But be pleased to work in us thy will and thy power. Oh, may we know, Lord, what it is to walk after the Spirit. Oh, may we know, Lord, what it is to seek, Lord, a spiritual frame of heart and mind, and, Lord, a desire that goes out towards thee, to thy word, and to thy gospel, to thy promises, Lord. O Lord, be the one treasure of our hearts, we pray thee. And, O Lord, may we be helped to follow thee in thy word, that our treasure might be in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Oh, do help us, Lord. Help us to journey forth in thy name, Lord. Help us, Lord, often to be found at thy feet, often to be found at the throne of grace, often, Lord, showing, Lord, our own worthlessness, our own helplessness, our own insufficiency, Lord, but looking only up to thee, Lord, for all our needs here below. Be gracious to us then, Lord. Come to our help and need this evening hour, and be pleased to reveal and manifest thyself to each one of us through the word. And we do pray, Lord, that we may this evening hour know what it is to draw near to thee, Lord. Or that we may, Lord, be blessed with some sure token in our poor souls that it is well with us. And particularly as we journey forth, and we are indeed but as just vapours, Lord, ourselves, and soon we will vanish away, soon we will become nothing. Our years upon the earth are but very few, 80 years, but there is an eternity before us, Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt make us each sensible of our sins and iniquities, oh, but sensible of our need of thee, Lord, to cover all our sins and iniquities, to come, Lord, and to be that one to take up thine abode within our hearts, Lord, that we may know thee to be a constant friend and companion of sinners, Lord. We pray thee. And so, Lord, we do pray. Draw near to each one of us. Be with us, Lord, in every part and aspect of our lives. Help us each day by day to live by faith upon thee. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. O Lord, leave us not to glory in any other, and glory in self, Lord, glory in anything that we are, Lord, but only in the cross of Jesus. Oh, let that be all our glory, Lord, what thou hast done for us. Oh, can we speak of any more worthier name than the name of Jesus, Saviour, Friend? Oh, we do pray, Lord, then be with us, Lord, each one of us, Lord, in our lives here below. Conduct us each in thy love and fear, and help us day by day, Lord, to live upon thee and to serve thee, Lord. Let it always be found in our hearts and our minds whose we are and to whom we do belong, that we're not our own, Lord, but that we're bought with a price. And Lord, as we say, our lives are but as a vapour, and so soon vanish away. But have we got that token in our poor souls, Lord, that we shall be, that it shall be well with us for eternity? Oh Lord, we do pray, if we go on unconcerned, Lord, in respect of this great matter, oh, that thou wouldest be pleased, Lord, to turn us, and we shall be turned. Show to us, Lord, and lead us, Lord, nearer to thee, and to seek and to pray for that salvation that flows through thy precious sin-atoning blood, to cleanse and to heal. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come earnestly to each one of us, and, Lord, be pleased then to keep us close unto thee, to rule, to reign in our hearts and in our lives, and help us, Lord, to commit everything that concerns us into thine ever-merciful hands. Leave us not, Lord, to go forth here below at our own charges, Lord, but, O Lord, to wait upon thee, Lord, at all times, to commit our whole cause into thine ever-merciful hands, if it will be thy gracious will. Teach us to feel our need of thee. We pray thee, Lord, and we do pray, Lord, that we may be those indeed that shall know what it is, Lord, to delight in Thee, to serve Thee in our day and generation. Oh, we thank Thee then for bringing us to Thy house of prayer. There are many, Lord, that are unable to come and visit amongst us this evening hour. We prayerfully commit each and every one of them into Thine ever-merciful hands, Lord. Be with them where they are, Lord. Undertake for them still. Be pleased to visit them in Thy salvation. And be pleased, Lord, that where they are, that Thou wilt be pleased, Lord, that they might know and feel Thy presence with them. And all our young friends and children that gather here, Lord, we prayerfully commit each and every one unto Thee, Lord, that their very coming in of the doors of Thy house, Lord, that they shall be purposeful, Lord, that Thou wouldest, Lord, have, we pray Thee, a purpose of grace towards them, Lord, that, Lord, their coming, Lord, into the means of grace shall be that Thou wilt but quietly work, but powerfully work and secretly work in their hearts, Lord, to lead them unto Thee, Lord. Oh, we commit them each into Thine ever-merciful hands, Lord. We seek and pray that there may be a generation following to call Thine holy name blessed. And so, Lord, we prayerfully commit to Thee our children, our children's children, and then the stranger without, Lord, we would not forget. We do not know who Thy people are, Lord, but if Thou wilt be pleased to turn the feet of strangers into this Thy house, Lord, then, O Lord, Thy will be done in respect of them, we pray Thee. And so, Lord, be with us each now. We seek to worship at Thy feet. We pray that Thy word, Lord, may be a good, profitable word to us, a precious Christ revealed and manifested to each one of us, that our souls might live through the gospel. O Lord, Thy servant, young Samuel, speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. O may we each hear, Lord, Thy word and Thy truth. Pour forth Thy Spirit, Lord, we pray Thee, and that our time spent together indeed may bear fruit unto righteousness and to the glory of Thy great and Thy holy name. Be pleased, Lord, to come to the help of Thy servant, Lord. Lead him into Thy truth and show him what to speak, Lord. Put the rich treasure of Thy gospel grace into his earthen vessel, Lord, and that through the Spirit take of the things of Jesus, show it unto us, Lord, that sower and reaper may rejoice together. We ask these things in that all-precious name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness of all sin for his name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 573. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. Gracious Spirit, make me heedful. Help me in his name to trust, and with pleasure in him as my portion boast. 573.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to Psalm 119 by way of a text reading from verse 116. Psalm 119, reading from verse 116. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. David was truly a man of God. He was a man who feared his God, a man who walked humbly with his God, who served his God, who loved the law of the Lord his God, that law, I mean, by way of the Old Testament worship, the ordinances, the ceremonial law and ordinances and sacrifices. His one desire was to be found in the house of the Lord, that he would seek after, that he may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To do what, dear friends? To behold the beauty of the Lord. That is where Jesus was, in the ordinances and the sacrifices. That is where David loved to be. That was his whole salvation. That is what helped and supported him as he was found in the wilderness. As he wrote Psalm 27, although he was unable to come to the Lord's house, there was one thing that was very certain in respect of him, and that he loved to behold the Lord in the offerings, the sacrifices, the altar, the priesthood, the precious Jesus revealed. But he wanted to behold the beauty of the Lord. He wanted, dear friends, to see and realize more of it in the ordinances of his house. But it wasn't, dear friends, that could ever be taken from him. He had the seal of his salvation in his poor heart. The Lord had sealed him through his blood and righteousness, that he was one of God's children. And he was a man that truly served the Lord, desired to be found in the ordinances of his house. Is it our desire, dear friends, as oft as is able and possible, to come to the ordinances of the Lord's house? Is it the Lord that we need at this time? David was a man, truly a man of God, but he was also one who knew and felt his need of his God. He was a poor man. He was a helpless man, a weak man, an insufficient man in and of himself. Uphold me, he says, uphold me. He was a man that suffered much affliction, troubles and trials here below, one thing and another. It's written throughout this Psalm 119, but of course we know much of David's life. A man who knew much trouble, affliction, trials and tribulations. And he was a man, dear friends, that needed his Lord. He needed to be upheld. He couldn't continue otherwise. Is that where we are, dear friends, tonight? Whatever might be found in our path, trials, afflictions, troubles, sickness, disease, isn't it here that we feel to be so helpless, so insufficient in and of ourselves? Fears come in upon us, doubts, troubles, trials. Those things that may come in our path unexpected. Those things that the Lord may be pleased to show to us by way of afflictions and tribulations. What was David's biggest trouble, dear friends? His own heart. That was one of his biggest troubles. And dear friends, if we're taught right of the Lord and through the Spirit, taught and shown that we're sinners, that will be one of our biggest troubles, one of our greatest troubles, even to the end of our days. It will be a great trouble. I can tell you that. Uphold me, David says. Uphold me. What could David discover? He couldn't keep himself. No. He had nothing in himself to be able to overcome these things. He saw so often his own weakness, his helplessness. He saw so often and confessed it, how poor and needy he was. And this word uphold, means this: support, sustain. That's what it means. Uphold and strengthen. Strengthen. Because here is a weak David. One that cannot help himself. One that cannot save himself. One that cannot do for himself. And he is one here. He is brought time and time again through the experiences that he was brought to pass through. That he couldn't trust in himself. He tried to on one or two occasions, but he failed, dear friends. Why was that? Because there was only one that he can turn to, dear friends. Only one. And the Lord showed it to him by mistakes here and there, and he may show us, but there isn't any other. We cannot trust in ourselves, trusting in self or something base instead of trusting sovereign grace. Can you trust in yourself? I'll tell you, I cannot. I've come to the discovery of it so many times. This word uphold, dear friends, it's a big word, really. It's a needful word. Uphold me. And it's a prayer, isn't it? A prayer. Uphold me. He walked out such a diverse path, so many opposites that he met with, so many stumbling blocks in the way, so many enemies, as we have read together in one place and another, enemies without. Satan himself, he will be a great enemy to the end. And then his greater troubles within. Uphold me. May we not trust in ourselves, dear friends. Whatever may come into your path, whatever may be in your path today, don't look to self. And just think of a word which I may have quoted at some time or other, but in Psalm 13, it seems to be a particular word. When David had to flee from Absalom, his son, and he was found in the wilderness again. And he says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul?" Oh, he was going to try and work things out for himself, dear friends. He was going to try and work things out for himself. He was trying to get through his own trouble, work out what he could do. It's only a short psalm, Psalm 13. But he was brought to see one thing, dear friends, ultimately. In verse 5, "But I've trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." And that salvation in that particular instance, although we can refer it to his great salvation, the salvation of his soul, but his deliverance. Because salvation on many occasions means deliverances, troubles and trials, and difficulties. And he was brought to see, dear friends, brought to reflect and brought to see that his own counselling, his own devisings, dear friends, no, they will never work. What is the truth and the blessing of the Lord's dear people? They have been saved from their sins. And when they were saved from their sins, they were saved from themselves. That they should never trust again in themselves. No. But they've got one to run to. They've got one to look to. One that they can rely upon wholly and solely. One that they can turn to at any time and every time. You see, this is Jesus. Uphold me. And so, dear friends, the truth here, this is a poor man here that is speaking. And on another occasion, when he thought, dear friends, that he would be free of Saul and those that pursued him, went into the camp of the Philistines, the Lord brought him out of it, a great deliverance. Great salvation. He used his feigned madness. But what was the blessing that came to David? This poor man cried. And you know, friends, if we try, dear friends, to get ourselves out of our troubles and trials and difficulties here below, we were brought to see, dear friends, that we can only look to Jesus. And it will be, "This poor man cried." The Lord brought him to that proper place, didn't he? A poor man, a helpless man, a weak man. But what a good place it is to be in. Because, dear friends, it is that one that will always wait upon the Lord for everything, everything. Uphold me. And so the Lord's dear people, as they're brought to pass through trials and afflictions and troubles here below, we must remember this. I know I've mentioned it before, but they're all divinely appointed. Nothing comes by accident, dear friends, no. Divinely appointed, whoever the Lord may use to bring trouble and trials and afflictions in our path. The Lord will use those things. And dear friends, what will he do? He will drain us of everything of ourselves. It will consume all the dung and the dross that is found within us. All our own strength, all our own wisdom, all our own counselling, as I have read, our own head knowledge of getting us out of these things. No, divinely appointed, so that we shall always be brought to run to that one source of all our help and all our need here below, and that is Jesus. We haven't got anyone else to bring us to our course here below. And so we can come to him in the midst of our troubles and our trials. Uphold me. It may be that some here are afflicted in respect of their sins and iniquities. If that is the case, it will be the best affliction that has ever come upon you. I can tell you that. And the Lord will mete it out in measure upon you as you're able to bear it. He knows, dear friends. He knows, dear friends, thy poor heart. But what a mercy it is if the Holy Spirit has begun that good work. This word will be such a precious word to thy soul. Uphold me. You will need the Lord to uphold you, to keep you on praying ground, to beg, to cry for mercy. Uphold me, strengthen me, support me, come to my help and need. You will need him. I know it was so in my case. There wasn't any more needful than the Lord himself. You see, it was his work, wasn't it? Uphold me. It is a mercy, as we sang together in the first hymn, to be a mourner in Zion, one to sorrow with a godly sorrow over our sins and iniquities. It will lay us low, dear friends. We'll be brought to this place. There was nothing in David here. Uphold me. There was nothing else, dear friends. The Lord had weaned everything out of him, himself and the creature and his own strength. And that is when the work of grace, dear friends, will begin. So that, dear friends, we come to none other but Jesus for his mercy. We will never be left to trust in ourselves, never be left to look to ourselves anymore. Uphold me. Maybe that sickness and disease has come upon us. And you know, we do become fretful. We do become concerned at these things. I know it is so. It has been so in my case. And dear friends, when sickness and disease comes upon the body, we begin to fret, dear friends. We wonder at the outcome, don't we? We wonder what it must mean. But what a mercy it is if the Lord will use it to bring us sensible of our sins and iniquities. Because all sickness and all disease and everything of the body, dear friends, it's all the root of that old man of sin, isn't it? And it still lies within. But dear friends, what a mercy it is if through these things the Lord will be pleased to bring us to him. At the throne of grace, as David here, uphold me. We want the Lord to come and strengthen us in our sickness. We want the Lord to come and support us. We want the Lord to come and to help us and to impart blessings to our souls. Dear friends, we need the Lord. Uphold me. There isn't a prayer like this one, dear friends. It shows entirely our own weakness. But it brings us to see that he alone is all the strength and the help and the support that we need here below. And only the Lord can give it. Comes through his Spirit and power, through his word. Hold thou me up. This will be a prayer to the end of our days. Uphold me. Keep me. Preserve me. I cannot keep myself, Lord. I cannot continue without thee, Lord. I need thee, Lord, in each and every step of the way. Uphold me. Let us just turn then to one or two thoughts. That may help us, whatever lies in our path, or whatever may come into our path, dear friends. Let this be our nature. Let it be our prayer. Uphold me. It's very personal. You see, sometimes we may look to a physician, an earthly one. We may look to some earthly help, or we may trust to some other one. Think of the one, dear friends, that came to save thee and redeem thee. Think of what he has done. Think of that miracle that he performed in thy poor soul. Think of the glorious change that he wrought, dear friends. He took the world out of us. He took Satan out of us. He took all our so-called head knowledge out of us, dear friends. He brought us to nothing. And this is the one that we shall always be intended and purposed to run to. Uphold me. It will be a lifelong prayer. Uphold me. Come and strengthen my poor soul, Lord. Come and support me, Lord. Come to all my help, Lord. Let us just look at what it is that helped and supported him. According unto thy word. First, dear friends, Jesus is the Word, isn't it? Isn't he? And that is our first thought, isn't it? Jesus and Jesus alone. Never to look any other way. Never to turn to any other. Look upon any other. Trust in any other. Never leaning upon an arm of flesh. Never trusting in the vain words of man, but my word. Uphold me according unto thy word. And Jesus, think of all the wondrous and gracious promises that belong to us through him. They're all the promises of our God, dear friends. Yea and amen in Jesus, to the glory of God by us. According unto thy word. Uphold me according to thy word. We may think, dear friends, of poor Jacob alone, going forth, and I know I've mentioned it before, when he chose out that stone for a pillow, when the Lord came to him in the dream, and that ladder was set up, angels going forth up and down, but the blessing that was given to him, the blessing that was given to Abraham, his grandfather and his father Isaac, and then to Jacob, that in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And he was blessed in his own soul. It was that faith in Jesus that was his great salvation. And you know, when he laid his head on that pillow, he wasn't worthy of anything, was he? Look at the man. Look at his subtlety and look at his craft. He went along with his mother to deceive. He was a supplanter. Was he worth anything, dear friends, from the Lord? But it was on that occasion that the Lord gave him everything. Everything. And he deserved nothing. Do you deserve anything, dear friends? Have I deserved anything? No, but he gave us everything. See him in our room and place at Calvary. Trust now in him. You trusted in him for your salvation. Trust in him now for everything else. And what was the blessing that was given to Jacob? He said that he would be with him, keep him in all places whither he goest. We couldn't have a greater blessing than that, could we? That upheld him in the way, didn't it? That supported him. And he came into many difficulties, didn't he? His uncle Laban, then returning, and his brother Esau. This was the word, dear friends. Poor, weak Jacob, worm Jacob. But the Lord was on his side, and he called upon the name of the Lord. He so told the Lord he feared and he was afraid of his brother Esau. But the Lord strengthened him. The Lord supported him. Uphold me according to thy word. He fulfilled his word, didn't he, in respect of poor Jacob? Then we may think of Moses. Could Moses take the children of Israel through that wilderness on his own? No. They were a stiff-necked lot, you know, hard-hearted, rebellious. He met with many troubles through them. They denied him going into the land of Canaan, the promised land. He saw it afar off, but he was blessed. He needed, this was his word, literally, uphold me. And what was the blessing that came to him? My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. We couldn't ask for anything more blessed than that, could we? Than the Lord's presence with us all our journey through. And if you read the scriptures, the end of Deuteronomy, Jesus brought him to the very end, didn't he? He buried him. What a faithful promise that was. How it upheld him. How it sustained him. Supported him and strengthened him. And dear friends, it's a word for us, isn't it? My presence shall go with thee in all thy troubles. in all thy concerns, in all thy sorrows, distresses, discomforts, in all the things that may come into thy path, the trials and the tribulations. Isn't this the word? Uphold me according to thy word. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Oh, what a rest it is, dear friends, if Jesus is with his people and we can feel his presence and his nearness. We won't want anything else. Nothing else but Jesus. And just think, Moses came to the end of his days. And dear friends, we will need Jesus when we come to the end of our days. But my presence shall go with thee. I will give thee rest. That is what we want, isn't it? Only Jesus. A bit earlier he said to him, when the Lord came to him in the burning bush, he said, certainly I will be with thee, certainly. Oh dear friends, the promises of our God, they will never fail. He will never let his people down. No, what a mercy that is. Uphold me according unto thy word. And then there is another word, uphold me. The promise of the Lord in respect of that word. I just think of that word in Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Uphold me according to thy word, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. That is what this word uphold means. Strengthen, support, sustain, uphold, you see. It just shows the very place that the Lord's people should be in. Always reliant and dependent upon the Lord, always looking up to him, as little children looking up to their parents, you see, always dependent, always trusting. For I am thy God, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Dear friends, doesn't that bring us into another truth? I will uphold thee with the right hand of his righteousness. What did Jesus say? None shall pluck them out of his hand. His poor little ones, his helpless ones, his weak ones, those who feel so insufficient in and of themselves day by day, those who very solemnly brought to confess so much sin inwardly and in their hearts, and the evil of their hearts, and the wickedness that they find in their hearts. And yet this wonderful truth still upholds. He still keeps, he still lays hold of his people by the right hand of his righteousness. What have we got here, dear friends? We've got a wonderful truth. I think of the word in Deuteronomy 33, I believe it's in, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Not our strength, his strength. He communicates it to us. He does. That is our mercy, isn't it? And he knows when, he knows just how to communicate strength to our poor souls. And it's through his word, isn't it? His promises. And it will come with power, dear friends, so that it will support us, so that it will strengthen us. The eternal God is thy refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath, always there, never removed. Never come apart, dear friends, for thy poor soul to pass through. Never. Underneath are the everlasting arms. They remain there, always. And the poor sinner rests in and upon them. Uphold me according unto thy word. What a promise that is, dear friends. Though David, yes, his own bad heart and yours and mine, they will let us down, they will. But these everlasting arms are still beneath. You see, uphold me, keep me. And only Jesus can. And those everlasting arms, dear friends, will bear us up and carry us all our journey through. Isaiah 46 has shown us that. Bear us, carry us, deliver us. Read it at leisure. But those everlasting arms, dear friends, when we come to the end of our days, will lay us in the grave. And still in the grave, his everlasting arms are beneath. They can never be removed, dear friends. No. Because those everlasting arms, those that are in the Lord Jesus, what is the blessing that belongs to them? Well, they sleep in Jesus. Sleep in him. Because he's going to raise them up again with his everlasting arms so that they shall be with him and enjoy everlasting life. When it says underneath are the everlasting arms, dear friends, you will never read in Scripture where they've been removed. Not from the Lord's little ones. Uphold me according to thy word. I thought of Matthew, you know, in the jail. Herod had put him in jail. And he sent his two disciples to Jesus. He wanted upholding. That's what he wanted. He couldn't understand. He was in jail. It was one that had been faithful to the Lord. It was one, dear friends, that pointed to Jesus. It was one, dear friends, that loved the voice of the bridegroom. And now he was in the jail. He was distressed. He was troubled. And he sent his two disciples to Jesus. That was a good thing, mind you. Because Jesus told them such wonderful words to give to him. And when John was ultimately taken, they would follow Jesus, then I do believe. And said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Poor John. But dear friends, it just shows how weak and poor, helpless we are in and of ourselves, how fretful we are, and we are. But it must have been another confirmation to his poor soul. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I believe, dear friends, that the Lord, he was one that did uphold him. He did support him. I believe it settled everything for him. And I believe it prepared him for what was to come. That same Jesus that he pointed to. It's that same Jesus. Dear friends, we have that same Jesus today. And then he says, that I may live. That I may live. He wasn't speaking of his life naturally. No. He was speaking of the sustaining of his never-dying immortal soul spiritually. And only Jesus is enabled to come to us that our souls might live. You know, when troubles, trials and tribulations come into our way and path, how we seem to be so empty of everything that is good. How we see our poor souls seem to fall into such a decline, a barrenness, an emptiness, is true. And that would be with David. You know, when David had sinned so awfully against the Lord in respect of Bathsheba and then Uriah, we know the circumstances of that, dear friends. Very awful. But in Psalm 51, he cried. Yes, he confessed his sins. He was brought into that deepest repentance, true penitence for what he had done. But he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, dear friends, we cannot ought to have that taken from us. We will have nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing will come from the Lord. No enjoyment. No peace. No joy. No happiness. We'll be left desolate. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That is what he wanted. And that is what is so precious to his soul. It was a precious Christ. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, isn't that a prayer for us? We want to be kept in the joy of our salvation. We want to be kept so near to Jesus. We want to know that real union and fellowship with him. And it comes through his cross, dear friends. For that is where he met all our needs, paid all our debts, brought us to himself, that we should be able to say, my beloved is mine and I am his. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Cause my soul to live again. A precious Christ in the gospel. This is what we want, isn't it? You know, dear friends, every morning I thank the Lord Jesus for his salvation to me. I generally think of him upon the cross in my room and place in our morning prayer, because I begin the day with him. And my day begins at Calvary, dear friends. That's where my day begins. That is where my salvation came. That is the day and the time that I rejoiced in spirit, that he espoused my soul unto him. Through the gospel, save me from all my sins. What a glorious start it is to the day. I'm not saying that we're always worthy of this, dear friends. We're not. But it's something, dear friends, that we begin with, because that is where our life began, isn't it? What Jesus came to do for us. Cause my soul to live. David, dear friends, when he come to the end of his days, he saw how bad his heart was. Although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation, all my desire, though we make it not to grow. Oh, it was all his salvation. Cause my soul to live. And then as we come to the ordinances of the Lord's house, perhaps this may be a prayer. Uphold me according unto thy word. You might come, dear friends, with your poor heart as dead as a doornail, dear friends. Cold and faint. Uphold me according to thy word, that I might live. Is that your prayer? Because you want a visitation? You want the Lord to come and touch your heart? You want him to come again and confirm you that you're one of his? That you're following him? Serving him? Walking out that path that he has ordained for you, and you need him to come and to quicken you? He said in another place, my soul lies cleaving to the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Only the Lord can lift us up, dear friends. That I may live. Are we living upon Jesus, dear friends? Are we living upon his gospel? Are we living upon his word? Oh, may the Lord help us to live spiritually upon him. And perhaps, dear friends, just like Paul, a desire that I may know him. Paul knew, he was very graciously taught by the Lord, but that I may know him. Dear friends, is that our prayer, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection? Do we want that power of a new life in our poor souls? You see, that's the new resurrection life, that we were delivered through his cross from death unto life. And now we want to know more of that life spiritual in Jesus. And then that life, dear friends, that resurrection life, isn't it through his resurrection, dear friends, that the church are justified? Oh, it is, dear friends. They stand justified, whole and pure, perfect, righteous, no condemnation, that I might know him. Oh, do we stand before our God in a righteousness not our own? No, it's what Jesus came and done. And that, dear friends, will support our poor souls. What he has done forever for his people. It can never be cancelled out, dear friends. Never can be erased from our poor souls. It's a seal. I may know him, the power of his resurrection, fellowship with his sufferings. Oh, dear friends, isn't it wonderful to come into that fellowship with his sufferings? You know, we do that at times when we come to the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. A wonderful fellowship of his sufferings, what he passed through for his people. And dear friends, what a wonderful mercy it is to come into that fellowship of his sufferings. And it will help us to suffer for his name's sake, won't it? to suffer anything that might come into our path, because we've got fellowship, the fellowship of his sufferings in us, the effect, dear friends, of what he did upon the cross will be in us in the measure of it. That we might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our souls to live, to have life spiritual. Dear friends, as oft as it is possible, come to the means of grace. You might be found in the misery of your sins, but it is here that Jesus comes, through the gospel. It is he that will reveal and manifest himself as the Saviour of sinners. And dear friends, if you come in this, uphold me, you will come with nothing in your hands, helpless, and lay your whole soul upon who he is and what he came to do for sinners. And this will bring us to the last words of our text. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Have we got some hope, dear friends, for our poor souls? A hope in Jesus. This hope, dear friends, it isn't a hope that is fixed on anything that is temporal or passing here below. Else it wouldn't be any hope at all, would it? This hope, dear friends, is a real trusting in his great and his holy name. This hope is the blessing of the gift of his Spirit towards his people. Because as they receive the blessings of his word and his truth and his promises in their souls, they then have a hope and an expectation in respect of them. But this is the hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. What a mercy it is. I think of another hymn. I just can't think how it begins now. But it's a hymn, dear friends, that Jesus, my all to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon, his track I see and I pursue, the narrow way till him I view. This is our hope, dear friends. And it's a good hope through grace. And it's a hope that is centered in and upon Jesus. And it's a hope, dear friends, that we bear with us as we journey forth here below. It centers in and upon Jesus. And remember that he is that one that has already entered into heaven and the right hand of the Father, or now to make intercession for us, but he is our forerunner who hath for us entered. And this hope is an anchor to the soul, dear friends, as the word informs us. But I put a marker in another page here, this marker here that Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know in whom I have believed. You know, it's only Jesus that's going to bring his people home to himself, dear friends, in victory. Oh, they will conquer all over all their enemies through Jesus, and he will give them the victory. Yes, dear friends, death has lost its sting, sin, and the grave, dear friends, why? It's lost its power, and it's through Jesus. The church are going to rise again. What a mercy just close on this point because our time has gone. I have to confess, I never know just how long a sermon's going to. That by two immutable things which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. That is what we want, isn't it? This is the word. Uphold me. Only Jesus can do it, dear friends. Uphold his people. A strong consolation. And then this truth, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever to the order of Melchizedek. Our only hope, and it's an anchor to the soul, dear friend. Just as that anchor, it seems to be such a small thing, but it can hold a great ship, dear friends, in the waters. Even in the tempest, it's such a great thing, isn't it? That an anchor can hold such a great ship. And dear friends, this little hope in our poor souls can hold our souls. A little hope in Jesus, a little hope in him, dear friends, is the blessing. And it's covenant hope, it's covenant blessings. Remember that the covenant, dear friends, it's a covenant of hope for the Lord's dear people. I just close on this word. It's hymn number 83. But it's something certain, dear friends. Hope in the covenant. Amidst temptation sharp and long, my soul to this dear refuge flies. Hope is my anchor, firm and strong, while tempests blow and billows rise. The gospel bears my spirit up. A faithful and unchanging God lays the foundation of my hope in oaths and promises and blood. Where is the foundation, dear friends, of all our hope? It's in Jesus. Jesus upon the cross. There is all our hope. That is what will bring us through our course, dear friends. He made a way from the cross to heaven for poor, guilty sinners. That's the hope that we have. And Jesus has laid the foundation through his cross of our hope. May the Lord help us. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Warren is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and on Monday evening there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation, and Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 759. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Oh, how sweet that sound to me. Once beneath my sin he smarted, groaned and bled to set me free. 759.
pleased to use thy word to the glory of thy name. Pardon and forgive everything that has been amiss and sinful with us. Take us each to our homes in peace and safety. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.